This is a production of Cornell University.
Welcome back to the Shortcut Early Bird Podcast. Joined as always with Dr. Frank Rossi. Frank, you're down there at Rutgers this week, who's hosting the International Turf Research Conference. How's that going for you?
That's right, Carl. 13th International Turf Society's Research Conference down here, Rutgers University, put on by all the great folks at Rutgers University. Big, big shout out to Bruce Clark, Jim Murphy, Stacy Bonus, Bill Meyer, Brad Park, Rich Buckley. I mean, I'm in trouble because I'm not going to name everybody. TJ Lawson, James Hempling there. It's just the gold standard in turf programs, really just highlights what's great about turf grass research in the United States. And hot and humid is all people could talk about, Carl. The only people who liked it were the Australians. They just couldn't get the heat enough, right? So that's a big story. Hot and humid down here in the New York metropolitan area, but really across the board, again, not widespread stress. I think normal conditions and normally stressful, right? So you're going to get your heat stress, but you know, you're either getting adequate rainfall, but you're not too wet, or you're drying out, but you're really not too dry. So that's where we are, sort of in general. There's a cool up coming, right? There's a cool up. There's going to be some rain coming through Sunday, Monday time frame. Could be a big dump that dumped in the Midwest, and it's on its way here. A big dump, if you see the pictures those guys got. So big dump coming, but thankfully it's going to cool off on the other side of it. So everybody could, you know, catch their breath here before the dog days of August come upon us in the next couple of weeks. But I will say, and that's where we'll go next, is that, you know, while we're having not very stressful conditions, we do have gradients of problems between wet and dry.
Yeah, around the region we have some very wet areas, but also some very dry areas. Even if we're just looking downstate, the city has gotten a fair amount of moisture, while the central and eastern parts of Long Island have been very dry. And as a result, we're seeing two pretty different sets of issues, right?
So one of the research tours, one of the technical tours at the conference went to Central Park. One went to Shea City Field. One went to the Red Bull Stadium. One went to Yankee Stadium. One went to the Botanic Garden. And everybody came back to Buckley with samples. Everybody brought samples back to the diagnostic lab at Rutgers, and where there was adequate rainfall, there was leaf spot, and the variety of foliar diseases. And all the diagnostic labs seem to be reporting that they're seeing a fair amount of biotic problems. That said, our pal Rich Buckley was surveying other diagnosticians around the country for their percentages of samples, and generally they're all saying that half the samples they get are of abiotic problems, which means there's not a particular pest. And it's important for people to understand that, you know, when they see a problem, they think it's a primary problem. Rich's job and all these diagnostic guys' jobs are to diagnose the issue, which it's never just one thing. So you have to say, in and amongst all the things that might have led to this turf's death, you know, what do we think is the principal problem? And at least half the time, it appears to be abiotic. And on the other side of the wet is the dry. And Nick and Marie on Long Island and Vicky on southeastern Connecticut are telling us how dry it is out there. And so, you know, they're talking about soils being dry and crunchy at the surface and powdery, and of course irrigation systems running like crazy. And so, you know, you get the spectrum of wet and dry problems. None of them are severe. The cool up is going to help. We might be it might hold off the death march a little bit of some of these stressful areas. But really, I tell you, the thing that then, when you don't have that much stress and you don't have a lot of things to really sort of drive the conversation, you get these quirky problems like etiolated tiller syndrome, right? And all of a sudden, people start putting pictures up that these etiolated tillers are blowing out of the ground. It's not appearing to be a lethal issue on fairways in particular, but I can tell you on putting surfaces, guys get a little bit nervous. What have you heard?
Yeah, so this week we saw some chatter about it on Twitter, and then I got to talking with our favorite golf course superintendent, Dave Hicks, who's the superintendent here at Cornell University's Robert Chen Jones Golf Course. He's seeing it on some fairways, and we're talking, kind of going back and forth about the use of Primo in relation to etiolation, some excessive moisture, shady conditions, it varying based on the turf grass type and his different fairways. You know, maybe you could give us a brief rundown of this topic here, Frank.
So about, I would say about 15 years ago, this phenomenon started to be observed in different turf areas around the United States. And it was described in New Zealand many, many years ago on a variety of different grasses, and was referred to as mad tiller disease. It results in the tip plant, you know, rapidly shooting up a leaf that gives the indication that it's growing in shade, hence the word etiolation. They saw a little bit more witch's broom effect in their mad tiller disease. So either way, it appears there seems to be some indication from the way the plant is growing that there must be a hormonal response. Now, people have looked for pathogens. Mike Fidanza has maybe found a Pythium, maybe found a Fusarium, you know, and no one, you know, again, it's mostly a cosmetic problem in fairways. Yep. You know, can be a big problem if it gets really bad. Guys have gotten concerned about it on putting surfaces, where if you get it on your bent grass, and that might be the difference that Dave's seeing, you know, some grasses don't get it as much as other grasses. Bent grass is one that gets it. And when it advances, it's been associated with bacterial decline, right? The etiolation and the thinning is associated with acidivorax, as Dr. Vargas says. Ooh. Xanthomonas, as other pathologists say. And either way, they think there might be something microbially going on that then leads to bent grass decline, right? Mm-hmm. So there's etiolation, and then there's bent grass decline. And then, you know, is Primo involved? Isn't Primo involved? I saw this problem in Sweden when I was traveling through Scandinavia before Primo was even labeled in Europe. But there was an indication that many years ago, Joe Roberts, Lane Treadway, that maybe biostimulants might be involved in this issue, but never really confirmed conclusively. Some studies show Primo has had a big effect. Other studies show Primo has not had a big effect. I think weather conditions are in there. It's one of those things that's just sitting out there. And because it's cosmetic, doesn't get really in-depth research. People just play around with it a little bit. Of course, guys are looking for things to spray on it. I don't think we found anything necessarily to make it go away. But in the long run, what we wind up talking about as we wrap up are these quirky little things that make for good conversation. And because we, you know, observe the natural world. And again, hopefully nobody's spraying for those kinds of things that we don't completely understand. But again, I think we'd say, Carl, another very non-stressful week, hot and humid, but not too many. I mean, guys dragging hose, doing the normal summer thing, but not abnormally stressful. Not abnormally stressful.
Yeah, and that's the great part of this podcast, I think, is that we attempt to hit on the major topics every week and keep the entire region informed of those primary issues. But every once in a while, we like to talk about these quirky topics like etiolation. So we've hoped you've enjoyed this week's episode of Shortcut Early Bird Podcast. We'd really appreciate it if you left us a rating and or review to give us some feedback as well. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter to receive daily updates. Thank you all for listening. See you next week.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.